Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaivam Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat Nasta Prayesha Badresha Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, 24th chapter, 47th text by Srila Prabhupada, The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. Text 47.
Icha dvesha vihinena.
Icha dvesha vihinena.
Savatra samachetasa. Savatra samachetasa. Bhagavad bhakti yuktena. Bhagavad bhakti yuktena. Bhagavad bhakti yuktena. Prapya bhagavati gati. Papta bhagavati gati. Icha desha vihinena. Sarvatra samachetasa. Bhagavad bhakti yuktena. Prapta bhagavati gati. Icha dvesha vihinena. Sarvatra samachetasa. Bhagavad bhakti yuktena. Prapta bhagavati gati. Icha dvesha vihinena. Sarvatra samachetasa. Bhagavad bhakti yuktena. Prapta bhagavati gati.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Freed from all hatred and desire, Kardama Muni, being equal to everyone, because of discharging uncontaminated devotional service, ultimately attained the path back to Godhead. Responsively, freed from all hatred and desire, being equal to everyone, because of discharging uncontaminated devotional service, ultimately attained the path back to Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service can one understand the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. And after understanding Him perfectly in His transcendental position, enter into the kingdom of God. The process of entering into the kingdom of God is Tripada Bhuti Gati, or the path back home, back to Godhead, by which one can attain the ultimate goal of life. Kardama Muni, by his perfect devotional knowledge and service, attained this ultimate goal, which is known as Bhagavati Gati. Translation again by Srila Prabhupada. Freed from all hatred and desire, Kardama Muni, being equal to everyone because of discharging uncontaminated devotional service, ultimately attained the path back to Godhead. In his purport, Prabhupada refers to the Bhagavad Gita. As we're approaching Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja Day, which will take place on the 9th of September this year, we can point to or meditate on the many achievements or accomplishments that Srila Prabhupada brought. One of them was the bringing forth of many fine literatures. and translating them, or having them translated into many languages. For good or for ill, English has become the universal language of the world. So Prabhupada first translated these teachings into English. This was indeed a great achievement. But of all the achievements that we can attribute to Srila Prabhupada, perhaps his greatest achievement is the conversion of beastly humans into godly saints. When I was in England, there was one postman from South India. His name was Lakshmi Bhadresha. He came to the Seven Berry Place Temple to deliver the mail, the post. He had never seen it before, and he had never imagined that English people would become devotees. So when he walked into the, we invited him into the temple, and when he walked in, he made prostrated dandavats before Radha Landanishwar, the deities. Then he was very amazed, and he decided to stay there and spoke with us for about 1 hour. Then he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. In the letter, he said that you have performed the greatest of miracles. He said in his letter, you have changed beastly humans into godly saints. Beastly humans into godly saints. Prabhupada liked this letter very much. And he asked that it be published in Back to Godhead magazine, exactly as Lakshmi Bhadresha had written it. And thus it appeared in Back to Godhead magazine in 1969. So Prabhupada refers in the first sentence of his purport to the Bhagavad Gita. He says that only by devotional service can one understand the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord after understanding him perfectly in his transcendental position. And then he can enter into the kingdom of God. But this is a very important section of the Bhagavad Gita, and I wanted to read it. That is the verse and Srila Prabhupada's purport. It says, Bhakti amam abhijanati yavanyashashmi tatpataha tatomam tatpato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. I want to read Prabhupada's purport, but before I do, I'd like to say that devotional service is a very rare thing. There are many people who think they can achieve the ultimate in Krishna consciousness through scholarship alone. Prabhupada personally defeated this fallacious argument by pointing out that Gaurikishore Das Babaji, the guru of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was functionally illiterate. He could not even write his own name. And yet he was the spiritual master of the greatest scholar, one of the greatest scholars of India, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his only disciple. Unfortunately, many of our ISKCON, or former ISKCON God brothers and God sisters, who have become very expert in scholarship, mastering or attempting to master the Sanskrit language and Bengali language, many of them Westerners, most of them, they have fallen down from the path of Krishna consciousness and devotional service because they thought that scholarship would enable them to attain the highest level of Krishna consciousness. Unless such scholarship is accompanied by pure devotional service, it is a very dangerous thing. So devotional service, as it is stated by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion, is a very rare thing. Only a few people can attain pure devotional service. But it is said here in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Mama Vijanati, only by devotional service. Only by devotional service can I be understood as I am. Prabhupada translated that word only, even though it doesn't specifically appear in Sanskrit. The verse says, Bhakti mam abhijanati yavan yas chashmi tatvataha. But Prabhupada said only. So when he left Vrindavan, where many people are in the bhakti tradition, he stressed above everything else the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. He even wrote a letter to one devotee named Rai Rama, who was the editor of Bhakti Godhead magazine. Rai Rama had written him, sometimes I don't go out on Harinam because I am concentrating on editing Bhakti Godhead magazine. So sometimes I don't know what to do. I don't know whether I should stay and edit Bhakti Godhead magazine or whether I should go out on the streets and sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada wrote him and said, if you cannot decide whether you should stay back from the streets and edit back to Godhead or go out on the streets and chant Hare Krishna, I advise you that you should go out on the streets and chant Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada stressed this Harinam, this Jagya, very much. Raya Rama had experience before in editing. But Prabhupada knew that the most important austerity and penance, the most important practice to attain Krishna was pure devotional service. And pure devotional service could only be achieved by the sacrifice of Harinam Sankirtan. So when Rai Rama went out onto the streets to vibrate the Hare Krishna mantra, he was becoming purified and entering into the realm of pure devotional service. So this is what Prabhupada writes about pure devotional service. He says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation, nor by the non-devotees. Prabhupada is famous for saying that religion without philosophy is sentiment, and philosophy without religion is mental concoction. He has written this and spoken this many times. So I'll read this opening sentence again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and His plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation nor by the non-devotees. There are many people who perform Dandabhat Parikram, but they don't know what they're doing. That's good. But they should know what they're doing. So when we recite shlokas in Sanskrit, if we don't speak that language of Hindi or if we don't know Sanskrit, we should learn these shlokas in our own language and say them, and because they are prayers. They are prayers to Krishna, whether it's Russian, Hindi, English, or whatever. Therefore, Prabhupada translated all of these books into the local languages. It is good to just recite shlokas in Sanskrit, but it is even better to know the meaning of these words, to know the meanings of, because they're prayers, so we should know what they mean. Therefore, religion, if it is only sentimental and without philosophy, it can become sentimental. And sentimental religion is second class. with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and with Prakasananda Saraswati, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed philosophy and almost only philosophy. He did not discuss what is my Siddha Pranali. He did not discuss intimate pastimes between Radha and Krishna. But he discussed philosophy, Vedanta. So Prabhupada continues, if anyone wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take to pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee. Under the guidance is a very significant phrase. In many letters, Prabhupada advised, asked, requested, and demanded devotees what to do when they didn't know. He always asked them to do what Krishna wanted, to perform pure devotional service. He continues, otherwise, the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will always be hidden. As already stated in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, he is not revealed to everyone. No one can understand God simply by erudite scholarship or mental speculation. Sometimes devotees have actually thought that they know more than Srila Prabhupada. And unfortunately it happens when they become a little bit proficient with Sanskrit shlokas. They think that Krishna consciousness is based on scholarship and knowledge of Sanskrit and Bengali. And they have relativized Prabhupada. They have taken away his position of being a supreme spiritual master, acharya, and authority and guide. Prabhupada continues, no one can understand God simply by erudite scholarship or mental speculation. Only one who is actually engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service can understand what Krishna is. University degrees are not helpful. One who is fully conversant with the Krishna science becomes eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna. Prabhupada has written in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita and told the story many times of a South Indian Brahmin who was illiterate. He could not read, and he was looking, staring at the page of the Bhagavad Gita day after day after day. His friends in South India were really not his friends because they were making jokes about him. They knew he couldn't read, and they saw him staring at the page day after day after day. One day Lord Chaitanya came to see him, and he said, my dear Brahman, why are you just staring at the page? You're not turning the pages. He knew that Lord Chaitanya was not envious of him, and so he said, I cannot read. But my spiritual master told me that Krishna took the reins of the chariot, became the suta, the driver of Arjuna, and when I see this image before my eyes, I remember the words of my spiritual master that you must read one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, but I also see that there are tears in your eyes, you are crying. Then the South Indian Brahmin said, when I see this picture before my eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, acting as the suta, the charioteer, the driver of Arjuna, that he is so humble, that he is serving his devotee, then I become choked up and I cry. So Lord Chaitanya then embraced him and said that you are the true reader, the real reader of Bhagavad Gita. So all the envious Brahmins who are surrounding him became very chastised and quiet. Then Prabhupada continues, devotional service is there, and as long as devotional service exists, there must be God, the devotee, and the process of devotional service. Such knowledge is never vanquished, even after liberation. Liberation involves getting free from the concept of material life. In spiritual life, the same distinction is there. Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. One should not mistakenly think that the word Vishate enters into me supports the monist theory that one becomes homogeneous with the impersonal Brahman. No. Vishate means that one can enter into the abode of the Supreme Lord in one's individuality to engage his association and render service unto him. Our time is short, so I'm going to read from another verse in the Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada refers to here. This is very similar to the verse we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It begins, Icha Dvesha Samutena Dandva Mohana Bharata Sarva Bhutane Samohan Sarva Yanti Parantapa. O Sayana Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by the dualities, arisen from desire and hate. So these two words, Icha and Dvesha, or desire and hate, are repeated many times in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's kind of like Nasochati Nakamshati, desiring and lamenting. Desire and hate. Prabhupada writes in his purport, the real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. If we have love for Krishna, then we don't desire anything else, because we are satisfied. Yasmin stito na dukena parijani vichayate. We feel very satisfied. There's no need to desire anything. And when we have love for the Supreme Being, we do not dislike or hate anybody. Krishna is the friend of everyone, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. So the devotee of Krishna is also the friend of everyone. In England, one politician named Cecil Parkinson, who was a minister under the Thatcher government, very highly placed politician, one of the third or fourth highest in the country, was riding on a train from London to Radlett near the temple. Sitting opposite him were two lady devotees. They didn't speak to him, but I saw Mr. Parkinson one time, about a year later, and he said, I saw two of your devotees on the train, and I could tell by seeing them that they were the happiest people in the world. They didn't care if I was wearing a suit and a tie. They didn't dislike me, I could tell. And I could see by the way they talked with other people on the train that they were very friendly. Prabhupada said that when he first came to America, the devotees looked very dingy and dark and had long hair and were very dirty. And then later on, after they became devotees and shaved their heads, he said they became bright-faced. This was the miracle of the conversion. Prabhupada continues in this purport by saying, when one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm going to stop here because in the rest of this purport and in the other purport, Prabhupada speaks at length about the distinction between a personalist and an impersonalist. Maybe we can talk about this more next time, about the difference between merging with Brahman and maintaining our individuality. This was a later understanding that came when Prabhupada began to preach about the difference between Vaishnavas and Mayavadis. So we'll stop there. And do you have any comments or questions or additions, please speak.
She's speaking about this story about this Brahma who read Bhagavad Gita, even he can't read, couldn't read it well. So his spiritual master gave him instruction just to read Bhagavad Gita, and he tried to sit and to look on Bhagavad Gita instead of maybe trying to teach how to read. So he followed directly the instruction of his spiritual master. He didn't start to learning how to read. He just sit and tried to read. So what about us when we receive some instruction from spiritual master? Should we directly follow them? Or we may use our intelligence and
Did you hear him?
Yeah.
Do you want to repeat it? It's a bit of a Russian to English to Hindi. Okay. So, there are different ways to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. In this case, Lord Chaitanya endorsed or approved of the Brahman's method of following the instruction of his spiritual master. He could have learned to read, and maybe late Lord Chaitanya would have approved of that also. The point is that we must please the Vaishnavas and not ourselves, not our own senses. This is the measure of success. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was no ordinary Vaishnava. He was God himself. But still, the message is there. We should try to follow the always follow the orders of the spiritual master as our life and soul. And our success will be confirmed by pleasing the Vaishnavas. Krishnadas Kaviraj was requested to translate Chaitanya Chaitamrita. He did not decide to do this on his own. He translated this wonderful epic poem, book, writing, philosophy, biography, because he wanted to please the Vaishnavas, not his own senses. And in the purports, Prabhupada writes that we should not write to become, in order to become published. We should write to please the Vaishnavas. Okay?
Sometimes, unfortunately, devotees die and they are hurt sometimes. Some spiritual masters say, this devotee achieved nirvana. Returned back to God.
For instance, for example.
Yeah.
When did he say that?
Sorry.
Give me an example.
Okay, I'll say about you.
I'm still alive.
I mean that when Krishna Buddha had gone, he told me by telephone that she achieved spiritual style. And here we, from this purport, we see that first devotee should perfectly understand what Krishna does. That means that
he said, when a devotee dies, how do we know what his or her destination is? Yeah?
Is it means that this devotee achieved perfect knowledge of Krishna?
Does it mean the devotee achieved perfect knowledge if the spiritual master says that he or she went to the spiritual sky? Okay. So, do you understand his question? If a devotee dies, what determines his or her place after they die? And if the spiritual master says they went to the spiritual sky, does that mean that they attained perfection? Yeah. So, the only instance of one of Prabhupada's disciples dying was Jayananda Prabhu. And at first, Prabhupada wrote and said that he would go to the higher planetary systems. And then he said, if he cultivated pure devotional service, he would go to the spiritual, he would attain Krishna Loka. Later on, devotees said that when he died, people were chanting Hare Krishna in his ear. Then Prabhupada wrote a second letter and said that Jayananda has attained the spiritual world, Krishna Loka. But only Krishna knows the destination of a devotee who dies. Or maybe the Uttama Adhikari or Paramahansa knows, maybe. It's like karma. We don't know what our karma was exactly, but Krishna knows. Krishna knows what we were in our last life and the life before and the life before and on back millions of lifetimes, because he is Chikala Gya. Of course, it is said in the Bhagavad Gita in the 8th chapter that whatever we're thinking of at the time of death, that destination we will attain in our next lifetime. So if we accept that as true, then if we're thinking of Krishna at the time of death, even if we're not even initiated, we can go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada said that the monkeys and the dogs of Vrindavan are all fallen yogis, and they will attain human bodies in their next life, or they will go back to Godhead in their next birth. But only Krishna knows the destination of somebody who dies. Because ultimately Krishna controls the movements of the living entities. When Ajamil died, he was singing Narayan. So the Vishnu Dutas stopped the Yama Dutas and they took him back to Godhead. That doesn't mean that every man should fall in love with a prostitute. It doesn't mean that every man should name his son Narayan. It was an example of how the holy name can save someone at the time of death. So if I chant to a rat who is dying, does that guarantee that he is going to go to Krishna Loka? Maybe, but only Krishna knows. So I think the answer to that question is that only Krishna knows the destination, the final, the place of the next body. That's what I think.
If devotee of Iskcon has more deeper relationship with deities, not from our Iskcon temple, is it okay or this may not be with the Vaishnava spiritual master?
So the question was, if an ISKCON devotee has a deeper relationship with deities from another non-ISKCON temple, maybe in Raj? Any temple?
Yeah, in Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan. Is that pleasing to the spiritual master? Is that the question? So the question was, if an ISKCON devotee has a deeper relationship with non-ISKCON deities, is that okay? Is this okay or is it pleasing to the spiritual master? My answer would be that the deepest relationship one should have should be with ISKCON deities. Even though great devotees like the Goswamis establish deities in other temples like Radha Damodar, temple, still it was Prabhupada himself who established Krishna Balaram, Radha Madhava, Panchatattva, Rukmini Dwarkadish, and many others. So the first and foremost meditation of a devotee should be on the deities that Prabhupada personally established. The deity worship of Prabhupada's deities is more opulent than in other temples. The clothes, the flowers, the mukuts, the decorations are what Prabhupada called gorgeous, very beautiful, more beautiful than any other deities. Of course, it is nice to worship any other deities, like Radha Damodar and others, but ISKCON deities, the ones that Prabhupada personally established, and the ones that Prabhupada's disciples and followers established, like Krishna Balaram Shilas here, they should be first and foremost. Because to please Prabhupada is to please Krishna. And no follower of Srila Prabhupada can be pleased unless Prabhupada and Krishna are pleased.
Is it the same to achieve Godhead or enter into Krishna's pastimes? Is it the same to achieve Godhead?
What do you mean by Godhead? So the question is it as good to enter into the planet of Krishna as it is to enter into Krishna's pastimes?
Is it the same? Is it the same to achieve Krishna's abode or enter into the Krishna's pastime? Is it the same?
So is it the same to enter Krishna's abode,
yes,
or to enter into Krishna's pastimes?
Yes.
That's the question. So there are different types of liberation. And the answer is that they are equal to enter Krishna's abode or Krishna's pastimes, but they are also unequal, technically. Arjuna was in the relationship of Krishna as Krishna's friend, as Sakhi, Ras. And sometimes someone can attain Salokya, the planet of Krishna. That's one type of liberation. So of the different types of liberation, of the different types of rasas, they're all, in one sense, they're all equal. Prabhupada gave the example of the grass and the trees in Krishna Loka. He said that the trees are not envious of the grass, and the grass blades are not envious of the trees. The trees said to the grass, "How lucky you are to feel the touch of the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and to provide such a nice soft carpet for them to walk on." And the grass blades of grass, the blades of grass said to the trees, "How lucky you are that you can provide such nice, beautiful scenery for their lordships Radha and Krishna to gaze upon." So even though the trees are much greater, much larger than the grass, they are equal in so many ways. Even though the grass is so much smaller, it is greater in so many ways than the trees. So, whether one is in a very dasya ras, a servant mode, or whether one is in madhurya ras, whether one is in salokya liberation, or Sharsti liberation, these are all good. And they are simultaneously one and different. And we won't know our Siddha Pranali, our original form, whether it's grass, trees, monkey, human being, Madhurya, Dasya, Sakhi, Saloka, Salokya, until the time comes. So we have to know that we are now worshiping Krishna as Dasya Rasa. We're offering obeisances, we're offering song, we're offering ghee lamps, we're offering water, handkerchiefs, fans, incense. This is Dasya Rasa. We are the servants of Krishna. So before we can be the intimate servants of Krishna, Krishna's friend, Krishna's conjugal lover, Krishna's parent, Krishna's son or daughter, we have to become Krishna's servant. That's the rasa that Prabhupada gave us, dasya rasa. So just like the different types of liberation are equal, but some are better than others. We just have to be patient and wait to see what kind of liberation Krishna is going to give us. Is that all right? She wants to ask more. Ask more. Okay, I think this is getting very technical. I think we'll stop now and we'll discuss this later on today. So we meet with the Russian devotees from 10:30 for a couple of hours. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.